Hey, what's up? I'm Black Girl World Traveler. Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Black Girl World Traveler, the podcast, and I'm back with another episode. Today, we're going to talk about depression and having depression while traveling. So some of you may or may not know that I suffer from depression. It is something that I am proud to say that I have under control through the help of medication and years of therapy and the grace of God. Honestly, I am a firm believer in God. And so I wanted to have this conversation because it's about damn time. I hope that the content that I put out in the podcast that you all may listen to and hear me on and see me on, that it's, I definitely don't want to paint a picture of glamour and just it's all fun and games, because it's not. It's very, very difficult to live on the road. It's very difficult to travel for months at a time. And it can get lonely, especially if you're doing it as a solo Black female traveler. So I wanted to talk about depression and mental health so we can just start talking about it. And maybe you may find something that you relate to. So let's talk about depression. What is it? You can Google it and get your own definition, but I think depression is, it takes over your life. And usually when people are depressed, it is because they cannot get over something that has happened in the past. Something traumatic has happened to them or to me. And, you know, you kind of are stuck in that moment, or you can't rationalize that moment, what happened, why it happened, why wasn't anyone there to protect you, et cetera, so forth and so on. And trauma can look like a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So I'm not gonna, you know, play the trauma Olympics and try to, like, you know, define it. There's no cookie cutter definition of trauma or, you know, a traumatic event. So if you feel like a wrong has been done to you and it's something that you can't get over, you know, I would consider that trauma. And let's talk about symptoms. If you don't know, depression symptoms can look like anger, irritability, not wanting to get out of bed, hypersexuality, or the loss of libido. It can look like crying constantly, overthinking, not wanting to get out of bed, not wanting to shower, so foregoing hygiene. It can look like a lot of different things, but those are like some common symptoms of someone who is depressed. And I think for me, I was depressed for about, I want to say I was depressed for maybe like a good 7 years before I was like diagnosed, before I actually started talking to someone about my depression. So I suffered from childhood depression. I hated my childhood, to be quite frank with you. I went through a lot of bullshit that I should not have had to deal with. But when I kind of got to college, I kind of just had like a breakdown, and I went to start seeing a psychologist at the CAPS office, which I think stands for like counseling and psychological services. And that was sort of that was the beginning step for me to acknowledge my depression and to work through and to start trying to heal from my depression. I knew something was wrong, but I wouldn't been able to identify as depressed. I wouldn't be able to identify what I was going through as depression at, you know, 13, 14 years old. But there was something definitely wrong. And so my anger, my irritability, those were my symptoms of depression. I was just mad and angry at the world. And by the time I got to high school, I was like, just mad, you know, and just kind of mean, honestly. I'm sorry, but, you know, not sorry, because I was mentally ill. And so, yeah, I always knew something was wrong. I just didn't know how until I had a breakdown where I really thought in my sophomore year of college I was gonna have to drop out of school, because I couldn't take it. It was just so overwhelming. And so I went to see someone in the multicultural affairs office, and then she recommended me to see someone, the psychologist at KIPPS, and then I started seeing a psychiatrist, and there started my journey with therapy, and 7-8 years later, here I am telling you my story. So what happened in between? A lot of bullshit. I went through several different therapists. And I think that with therapy, and then we'll get into like, you know, how to treat depression, but traditional talk therapy worked for me. I went through a lot of different therapists. I went through different, trying different types of meditation, yoga, working out. I use sex as a coping mechanism. That wasn't healthy for me, using sex as a coping mechanism. I know a lot of people do. Alcohol for a brief period. Whatever made me feel better, I would try. Like, essentially. And this feels so far long ago, but it also feels like it was yesterday at the same time. So I don't know how I got through it, to be completely honest with you. And the only thing that I can possibly rationalize as being able to have gotten through depression is God. Because without God, I would have lost my damn mind. Like, without God, I wouldn't have had an anchor. I wouldn't have had something. I wouldn't have had that North Star to look forward to. I would not have had strength, internal strength. Like, there would be so many times, so many nights, I would just feel like, I can't do this. I just can't do this. This is too much. I don't like this therapist. She doesn't understand me. She's against me. You know, all the things. I went through all the things, all the emotions. And also journaling also helped me. I would say God and journaling, like writing out my thoughts and just trying to, you know, figure it out. I don't know. I'm kind of at a loss for words, because like I said, this feels like it was yesterday and 10 years ago all at the same time. But I'm so happy that I'm healed and I'm in a better space, and I truly feel like I am no longer depressed. I am extremely happy, and I'm no longer anxious as well. So depression and anxiety do go hand in hand. I define anxiety as being worried about the future. So what's to come? And depression is worried about the past and not being able to get over a traumatic event that happened in your past. And so thankfully I no longer suffer from either, but I wanted to talk about why people get depressed. And I honestly think that travel also, I love to say that travel saved my life, but if I had to really be honest with myself, it was God and journaling. Like, traveling definitely helped me along this journey, but God saved my life. God saved my life. And so we talked about why my people might get depressed. Worried about stuff from your past, so people can trigger you. You may start to think about your past and your future, which can trigger anxiety and your family history. So depression may run in your family, mental illness may run in your family, so that can put you at a predisposition of having a mental illness. So many factors, and of course trauma. Something happens to you and, you know, you're not able to process it. And so that's pretty much, you know, depression in a nutshell. I don't really have anything to add to that, but I want to really talk about like how to deal with depression, because things are going to happen, especially when you're living on the road and you're traveling. Being by yourself, you can get caught up in your thoughts, you can start overthinking. And I just want to first start off by saying that there's no right or wrong way to deal with depression. This is a non-judgmental space. You can be who you are, whatever you want to be. There, everybody's on their own journey, and that's what I had to realize. You know, looking back, I knew I was depressed since I was 12 years old, but maybe even as early as 10 years old. And I didn't get help until I was 19 years old. So that's a long time in my formative years of not being treated. And so what I did between 10 and 19, nobody can judge me. You know, I've already talked to God. And even beyond 19, when, you know, I was, you know, seeking treatment, you know, I feel like nobody can judge me. And that's why I don't judge anybody, because everybody truly is on their own journey. And I, you know, you just have to accept the consequences that come along with the ways you choose to cope with depression. And know the consequences of self-harm. You know, promiscuity, if, you know, when done unprotected, alcoholism, fighting, anger, beating people up, bullying, all that stuff is, you know, is how people deal with being depressed. It's very harmful, not only to yourself, but to others, but it is a way that people deal with depression. And so this is a non-judgmental space. I hope, if you're listening to this and if you have ever done those things or currently doing those things, I truly wish you the best on your journey, and I hope you get the healing that you need. So as I stated, for me, traditional talk therapy work, medication. Let's talk about medication. I am on antidepressants. I need antidepressants to survive in this world. I do, personally, at this point in my life. You know, I definitely want to get to a place where I don't need antidepressants medication, but for now, it helps me. And I'm on an SSRI. I'm not going to tell you all the one that I'm on because I'm not your doctor and I'm not a medical professional, but just know that I am medicated and I am happy as shit, okay? Especially because it helps me just be able to be stable. Like, you know, just be stable. Have a good day, go through the day. When people piss me off, it's water under the bridge for me. And it stabilizes my mood, honestly, so I don't end up going off. And also, we live in a capitalist, exploitative society that really pisses me off most days. Like, really pisses me off. I find myself every other day texting one of my friends, like, I can't do this shit no more. I'm tired of going to work, you know? Like, I don't want to do this no more. Medication has definitely helped, but again, consult your doctor and find out what's best for you. Do your research, do Google searches, talk to friends who may be on medication to help with their depression or anxiety or any other mental illness that they have that you may also have, and see what works for you. Meditation is something that I tried. So when I was 23, did I come back from Spain when I was 23 or 24? I was 23. I met a therapist and she was like, she gave me this paper to like try a meditation. And I was like, for me, I used to think, oh, meditation's stupid. Like, oh my God, who wants to like hear silence? But she was just like, you know, just try it. And it was like only 5 minutes. So she was like, you can even start with small intervals. So I started with like 30 seconds and I was like, oh, this is fine. And then I started doing a minute and then 2 minutes. And then 5 minutes at that point was a little bit much for me. So I like cut it off at like 2 minutes. But I was like, okay, this is good. And then what happened was I found a free meditation class with the Free Library of Philadelphia in Philly that I absolutely love. And I started doing that. And for me, that was helpful. I find that when I need to do something that's unknown to me, I like doing it in group. So like, that's why I like group workout classes and I like group meditation. So we meditate as a group on Zoom, and you always have the opportunity to turn off your camera if you like. So because, you know, it's a private space, you don't have to invite people into your home if you don't want. So I like that aspect of it. So I started doing that and it would help me fall asleep. So I was like, oh, this is something. And then we would talk about, not only would we meditate together, but we would talk about how the meditation made us feel. And if there were like chants or something, if the person who was leading the meditation, because usually the librarian would get the meditation from YouTube or somewhere, we would talk about like what they stated during the meditation and like how it made us feel, what did it make us think about. And one thing concept that I learned in meditation was becoming the observer. So that means when something is happening to you, before you react, before Shiver reacts, Shiver the observer can observe the situation. And I love this concept because I'm a Gemini. Shiver the observer, who is within me, can observe the situation, take note of what's happening, and then Shiver the person can respond. And that, when I heard that concept, I was like, oh wait, I don't have to like immediately respond. I don't have to immediately pop off. I don't have to immediately like clap back at someone who says something that was rude, because I spent so much of my life not responding to BS that I encountered. So when I learned the concept of the observer in meditation, that was life changing for me, because now I could separate my emotions and how I felt when I encountered something that I didn't like versus Shiver the observer. So this is emotional Shiver, I'll say the observer Shiver. And so they both are in, live within me, right? Like I'm still one person. So when I was able to do that, emotional observer or observer emotional, or all one, whatever, when I was able to separate the two, it was like, okay, I can deal with anything. And then after that, I started using that concept when I would come across people who would say mean things, or when I would face rejection and I didn't understand why, especially like in a travel space, constantly pitching myself. I didn't understand why I was being rejected. I was like, I'm so good. And I'm a hard worker and whatever, yada, yada, yada. Shabby the Observer would say, you know what? Yes, you were rejected, but there's 10 other opportunities out there for you. And me as a person, Shire the person, is very logical. So that makes sense. So the observer helps bring out my more logical side. And don't get me wrong, being emotional is powerful. It is a beautiful thing. It is something that I think unfortunately gets weaponized a lot, especially people weaponize women's emotions against them. But we'll get into that topic another time. But emotions are a beautiful thing. But the observer helps me to use my emotions in more strategic ways. And so when I learned that concept, that was like 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago, something like that. That helped me tremendously. And I also say, speaking my mind. So I feel like a big part of why I may have been so angry as a kid, or just, you know, had a bad attitude or whatever you want to call it, also hormones, right? But it was because I didn't feel like I could speak my mind. I didn't feel like I had safe spaces. And so as an adult, I would just be like, you know, I wasn't going for the bullshit. And now learning how to speak my mind has helped me so much more. And when I say speak my mind, I mean knowing when to speak my mind. And that's a skill that you have to learn, right? Because sometimes, you know, you have just have diarrhea mouth and you say the first thing that comes to mind and you hurt someone's feelings. And when that person is someone you love, you know, it really makes you reflect, because of course you're not trying to hurt someone's feelings who you love, but you know, it just comes out like that sometimes. But I had to learn that everything that a person needs to hear doesn't have to come from me. And, but two, don't disrespect me. Play with your kids, don't play with me. And I think that once I learned that, and once I learned that, I think what also went along with me helping to speak my mind, I hope I'm not rambling, was learning how to kick ass professionally. So at the same time I'm learning how to speak my mind and feel more comfortable expressing myself and standing up for myself, I'm taking kickboxing classes. I'm learning self-defense, and this is because I was a solo traveler and I needed to feel safe. When I was in Morocco, a man grabbed me, and I just, you know, I'm not afraid to fight a man, but I also know that I can't beat a grown man. You know, like, I'm realistic. And so back to speaking my mind. So I'm learning how to speak my mind. I'm learning how to kick ass. I think for me, that was a game changer, because it's like, now I can speak my mind. You can't beat my ass. And you know what? It worked. People stopped trying me. And I didn't have to kick any ass. I just had to start speaking my mind. And when you start speaking your mind and letting people know that they can't play with you the first time they try you, they will stop. It was like an epiphany that I had. They will stop. And don't get me wrong, I still get tried, but very, very infrequently. Very, very, very infrequently do I get tried. But when I do, I will speak my mind. And I'm a Gemini. I believe in astrology, y'all. Geminis, we are known for mental stimulation. That's where we get all our power from, is mentally. And we use words like swords. We don't play. So speaking my mind, and strategically speaking my mind, has also helped me. I think also getting more vitamin D from the sun. I cannot live in a cold climate. I can't. I love the sun. I need the vitamin D. The a lack of vitamin D contributes to depression. And when I got sick, I went to see a neurologist, and he ran a whole bunch of tests to see if I was deficient in anything. And one of those things was vitamin D. And he said, you know, get your supplements at a local drugstore and just take them. So that's what I've been doing ever since. I take vitamin D supplements. I purposely seek out warmer climates. Right now it's a little chilly in El Paso, but definitely not freezing cold. And where I ultimately will end up is in a warm climate, vitamin D, super important. Get your vitamin D levels checked when you go for your primary care checkups. If, yeah, get you some supplements at your local grocery store, ask your pharmacist or pharmacist tech where you can find them. Any brand will suffice. Vitamin D is important. Already talked about becoming an observer, the observers. I constantly ask myself questions. So part of the reason why I'm able to speak my mind now is because I'm constantly talking to myself, right? Like I said, I want to speak my mind, but I never want to hurt anyone's feelings. And I want to be strategic about what I say and to whom I say it to. And so I constantly am talking to myself. Questions that I ask myself are, what do I want? Am I happy? What will make me happy? And what am I really afraid of? So those questions, how many questions is that? That's 5 questions that I ask myself pretty regularly. And I would say, if not every day, then every other day, to help guide me forward. What do I want? Why am I here? You know, I want to inspire people. That's why I'm here. I want to educate you. I want to make you laugh. Hopefully you can relate. And I want to encourage people to travel the world. That's what I want right now, here in this moment, as I'm recording this podcast. What I want 15 minutes from now can be very different, and that's okay. But that's what I want right now in this moment. And in every situation where I feel like I'm unhappy, or even when I am happy, like, am I happy? Yeah, if I'm not, what do I want? And then I make a plan to go get it so I can become happy. And then, what am I really afraid of? I always ask myself this. Because fear, I think for a while, crippled me. Like I stated earlier on a previous podcast, I've had this podcast since 2019, and I finally feel like now I'm pushing forward. That's 3.5, almost 4 years later, and it's because I allow fear to cripple me. Like, you know, fear put myself out there and sharing my story and being judged, and essentially, that was the anxiety speaking, worried about the future, right? Creating scenarios that hadn't happened yet that weren't rooted in fact. And so I just, you know, I was super inconsistent with the podcast. But now, of course, things are changing, and I'm so happy to be back on a more regular schedule with you all. But fear can cripple you into doing absolutely nothing. And your life will pass you by if you allow fear to eat you alive. And so when I ask myself, what am I afraid of? I want to get to the source. I'm afraid of podcasting, or am I afraid of being judged for my truth? Am I afraid of being judged for my truth? Or do I not want to reveal family secrets? You know, like, those are two separate things, right? But I conflate the two. It's just, I don't want to talk about it. I don't have to do it. I'll record my podcast another week. That's what it came down to in practice. But that's not gonna get me what I want, right? What I want right now is to inspire people and share my story and encourage people to travel. That's not getting me there. And so, this is where like training your brain comes into. You have to make what you want and your thought process and your action process align. And what I mean by that is, if you say you want something, And that's what you truly want, you have to think about that thing. You have to think that you're going to get that thing, and then you have to act on it to get that thing, right? It's a multi-step process. It really is, and it is not easy, but it is simple. It absolutely is simple once you break it down, but it is not easy. It is hard. It is brutal. You have to have conversations with yourself. You may have to have conversations with people that you don't really want to have with. It's hard. It's really hard. And I won't tell you that, you know, having depression is easy.